Things have been getting better. Slowly.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 6, Great Expectations with One Less E Than You Want. And now, here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
It's true. Hi, Sarah.
Yellow.
Hi, listeners. We're so glad you're here.
It's like having great expectations on a skateboard.
It is in every possible way. You nailed it. We're so happy you're here. We want to tell you what's happening on the Patreon. This Friday, July 25th, it's going to be again with this 249. Let's watch Laura Layton in early edition. It's the penultimate episode of this series and a very weirdly off-model episode. But, you know, I thought it was fun. It was a nice change of pace for good old early edition. And weirdly in keeping with what our interests are, I would say.
Yeah, it was very weird, but like you said, kind of refreshing.
And we want to remind you that our membership drive is still ongoing. We're pushing for that sticker set. So if you can kick up your pledge, we'd love to see you do it. If you can tell everyone in your social network they need to join, get them in. We would love to start sending those out to you because they are so cute. And Dave did such a good job designing them.
Mm-hmm.
More perks to come, but that's the first. All right, let's get into it. Just one plot line this week. Oons. It's the rave episode.
Seeing this in the dock was truly a delight. So good.
We have a waterproof speaker for the shower so that I can listen to podcasts and never be alone with my thoughts for a single second. And it is called the Oons Angle. That's how it comes up on the when you're choosing it on the Bluetooth.
Love it.
Anyway, since Jack has made it clear he doesn't want Andy's help with his college applications, Andy has moved on to helping Jen. When Andy suggests focusing on schools in the New York area, since it's where she's from, Jen mumbles that she spent the last several years trying to forget that. Andy's under the impression that Jen recently decided she wanted to go back and see her old gang at something called The Haunt, and Jen figures out that what has actually happened is Drew planting false stories about her with her Capeside friends. Jen has just said that Drew's testimony isn't reliable when Jack bursts in, relieved to have found Andy, and then pretending to downplay why he was looking for her, to give her an envelope from Harvard. Andy tries to talk herself into and out of believing there could be good news in this thin envelope, but finally manages to open it and find out she's been accepted. Andy is almost too stunned to react as Jack gives her a huge hug and yells to the whole library that his sister just got into Harvard, and it's actually very sweet. The two of them are adorable in this episode, by the way.
Yeah. I understand why this was true, and a lot of it was, like, siloing because of actors' other projects, and it's no one's fault.
Yes.
It's kind of a bummer that they're just now really getting into that sibling believability lane for real.
Yep.
Anyway.
After commercials, Gretchen runs into Dawson and clip two.
If you're looking for something new and different, may I suggest more Chiba?
More Chiba.
There are a little Herbie Hancock, a little Biz Markie, and just a touch of Poe tossed in for good measure.
Several more are just not currently represented in my CD collection.
You've at least heard of them.
Oh,
Dawson.
I mean, okay, look, I had Morcheeba on disc at that time, but I heard them in a coffee shop. Like, I'm not actually better than anyone. Is A. B. Biz Markie is a wild reference for that. But it's just like sort of spoken word trip poppy stuff that you would hear in a coffee shop on the Hate, which is literally where I heard it. See, you really got to get on our Discord, like join the club, get on the Discord. There is quite a debate going about how Gretchen can't chronologically be the cooler older sister that she says she is. Like, it's just like not possible pre-internet for her to have known anything about Sub Pop.
Right.
It is fascinating. Our listeners are smart and you should join.
It's so true. She also needs to, I mean, Sasha Alexander needs to work on her delivery because if you're looking for something new and different, like she's just so peppy mom with a bottle of Sunny D. Like she's just not credible with the tone. it's about to get worse. That's when another guy gives Gretchen a flyer, which is so full color printed, it is audibly stiff. You can hear her holding it when you watch the episode. Dawson guesses it's for a party, and Gretchen says it's not just a party, it's a rave. And I want to thank the editor who stayed on the flyer long enough for us to get excited about DJ Snuff, the Burkittsville 3, DJ Shiver with two V's, and MC Laughing Boy.
I mean, the Burkittsville 3 is pretty good. Pretty good Blair Witch reference there.
True. Dawson guesses that even rhythm-impaired suburban youths deserve an outlet. And for those in the viewing audience who haven't heard of raves before, Gretchen, clip 3.
Raves aren't just an outlet for dancing. They're sort of a declaration of independence.
Yeah, right up there, the Boston Tea Party.
Hey, every generation has its rebel subculture experience, and this is ours. You know, our attempt to define who and what we are and to make a statement about how we're going to live our lives.
And our statement is that we can keep tedium at bay by wearing glitter and jumping around at technopop.
It's called fun, and I think you need to come with me and check it out.
To a rave? Not really my scene.
Well, I'm guessing that you haven't actually been to one, so how would you know?
Instinct. You know, never been two-stepping either, but yet somehow I know better than to run out and buy a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah, well, two-stepping isn't all the rage with the nation's youth. But if you were so inclined, I would love to intro you to something that
is completely foreign to everything I've ever known my entire life.
Okay, well, consider it one of the terms and conditions of our new friend agreement. You know, must challenge and expose other party to experiences he or she would otherwise not indulge in.
Does this agreement have a rain check clause?
Yes, but just this once.
Okay, and I promise I will take you up on it next time. If and when I'm ready for you to see how insufferably uncool I can be.
She knows. I'm
pretty sure that horse is out of the barn and county by now. But man, I recently discovered via the Internet Archive a bunch of back issues of the recaps. I really could not deal with this character at all at the time. I don't think she's as bad now. It's certainly not the actor's fault. Mm-hmm. But Rave Sensei Gretchen is definitely my least favorite Gretchen.
God, brutal. Anyway, she's really trying to close him, I guess, because she says this, clip 4.
Oh, you don't give yourself enough credit. I mean, at worst, you're just mildly uncool.
Thank you.
Yeah, take it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, Pacey and Joey and Joey's weirdly, loudly clunking boots are discussing what they're going to do tonight and joking about pulling a Bonnie and Clyde. She stops outside the record store and spots Dawson and Gretchen in a listening booth together. Remember those? Pacey asks if Joey wants to go in, but she leads him away before he can see them. And then we're at the McPhee house. Joseph is giving Andy the Harvard sweater his father gave him when Joseph got in. It's remarkably in amazing shape. They must have never worn it like to a frat party or a football game or anything. Like, it sure looks brand new.
They must just be flea dipping it in cedar once a year. That's amazing. Yep. He is so cute, though.
He's really sweet. He says he's been saving it, hoping for this moment. There's zero indication that Jack is envious of Andy getting all this attention and pride from their dad, which is, again, so sweet, as is Joseph getting overwhelmed as he says that she looks perfect in the sweater, and she corrects him. Clip 5.
Daddy, I'm not perfect. Not by a long shot.
You know, Andy, wearing the crimson signifies excellence. In fact, I remember when the boys and I first got to the yard.
All right, you think this is excited? You wait till the course book arrives. See, we're going to see if some of the old war horses are lecturing this fall. And then, you know, there's a summer session.
Dad.
All right. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's just, this is the greatest moment of your life, Andy. I have never been more proud of you than I am right now.
Well, just remember, I want that same speech when I get into clown college.
I hope it's not the best moment of her life. Holy shit. She hasn't even gotten there yet. Like, just getting in is the moment? Wow.
Yeah, truly.
When Joseph leaves to call all his old classmates and brag about her, Jack says it's a big sweater to fill, but that Andy shouldn't freak herself out. She says she's not freaked out, but she also doesn't feel like it's the greatest moment of her life and figures it's her medication flattening her highs and lows and that she'll be bouncing off the walls in a few days. Jack's like, speaking of, and tells her about the rave, saying she deserves a night of wild, reckless abandon. And then in the computer lab, Jen's on collegeseeker.net, looking at art schools in New York, even though we see her initial searches for schools near Chicago. So boo to collegeseeker.net.
Mm.
Drew emails her an invitation to the rave. Out loud, she says if he sends it one more time, she's going to slam his fingers in the door jamb because he's sitting behind her watching over her shoulder. Don't open the attachment then, if you know what it is. Sometimes we bring heartache on ourselves.
Yeah, stop paying attention. Gavin DeBecker, come on.
Drew says her love of the scene used to be world-renowned and mocks her when he sees what site she's on. She sighs that she's starting to remember why her skin crawls when he's around, and he says that the night of the unbirthday party he went back for the ecstasy he gave her and saw it was gone. He's not surprised she wavered since it's the fall of their senior year and she still doesn't know what she wants to do with her life, so wouldn't it be nice to escape those questions for a night? Jen says he's no longer any good at convincing her to screw up her life. Drew says that if she remembered how much she liked feeling good, she'd have to admit she wants to feel that way again, so she's going to take a tab. Tonight's the night. And then Dawson is walking into the kitchen to a table set with candles and a huge, tacky bouquet of, like, supermarket Mylar congratulations balloons.
Mm-hmm.
These are for acquaintances. This is not what you buy for your wife, Mitch.
No. Jewelry. Lots of it.
Take the money you were going to spend on balloons and put it into a college savings account because you're making a bad financial decision, but...
Yep.
I guess it worked, as we see Mitch and Gail dancing over by the island. Dawson asks what it's all about, and once they clear up why he's there and not working at the restaurant, which is, it was slow, because duh, it's not tourist season. Mitch claims they're glad he's there so they can tell him they've decided to ignore logic and have the baby, and Dawson's overjoyed because they're doing what he wanted. Gail offers to set Dawson another plate, but he already ate and is going out to a thing he was invited to, Clip 6.
You know what I love about that kid?
Everything.
Well, yeah, that, and you can totally take a hint.
This season, yes. This is a new development.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, historically, on balance, I'm not sure that's accurate, but yes, things are trending in the correct direction.
They are. Over to Pacey and Gretchen's place, where Joey's putting on big party hoops, and Gretchen is being this, Clip 7.
I've been to at least a dozen raves, and they've all been great.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of sweaty strangers packed together being blasted with potentially ear-damaging decibels? Huh. Sounds great.
Hey, I thought you were going to give this a chance.
I am. I'm actually really excited to check out this new revolution.
Phrasing. Will there be a milletting?
Yeah, just go to a movie. Like, this is not what you think it's going to be or what she's telling you it is. It's going to be just hot and loud and long and boring.
Yeah, unless you're on drugs. Like, this gets closer than 90210 did to, like, accepting that this is a central part of the subculture. But it's still like, why is Gretchen selling so hard? Like, hey, L. Ron. Take it easy.
Yeah. Also, like, you're 20, you know, like, make some friends your age, perhaps. This is getting weird. Anyway, yeah. Joey tries on a cheap plastic crown that, of course, Gretchen has. And Pacey's like, no, and is right. And then asks if raves aren't just high school dances, but 10 times longer. Gretchen says she used to love high school dances. And Pacey says, of course, she was the queen of everyone she ever went to. Gretchen tells Pacey if he doesn't want to come, she and Joey will go without him, and he can clean the bathroom, but he never said he didn't want to go. And then Dawson's there to cash in his rain check and is somehow surprised to see Pacey at the place where he lives and Joey, his girlfriend. But he just lets out a weird laugh and asks who's ready to get in the Mitchmobile, and now it's definitely too late for Pacey to bag it.
Mm.
And Jen and Andy are also getting ready at Graham's place, Clip 8.
I gotta find directions to the map point. What's a map point? It's like a buffer zone for undesirables. If they don't like the way that you look, you might not get directions to the actual location.
But how do you know if you're undesirable?
Andy, it's a rave on the Outer Banks of civilization. Anybody who shows up with money is desirable. Yep, there we go. Don't worry. Within an hour, you will be grooving to the point of exhaustion with the Cape's version of its disenfranchised youth.
Are you sure you want to go? Because I'm starting to feel really guilty about twisting your arm. And if you don't want to go, I totally understand.
Mm-mm. No, I want to celebrate with you.
Good, because I think we are going to have so much fun. And I think that's exactly what we need, is to have fun. But first, the facilities.
Good call. Don't think about the trench they're going to have you peeing in there, but also nice Outer Banks reference. We hear you. We know where you are.
Everyone is so frizzy already.
Oh, my God. Left. Well, yeah, based on when this aired, they probably shot it in like August or September, and it looks so miserable.
Yeah, it really does. Just sticky. Mm-hmm.
So when Andy leaves, Jen reluctantly pulls out Drew's box and is contemplating one of the pink buttons when Andy comes back and catches her. And then on the drive, Gretchen remembers a particular 4th of July in Cohasset, which was the last time the four of them were all in a car together. Pacey is trying not to participate in small talk when Gretchen asks how old the babies were, but Dawson remembers they were 11 and Gretchen was 14. And as Gretchen and Dawson flirt about what he was wearing, Joey watches watchfully from the backseat. And then we're at the park. Andy asks if Jen has done ecstasy often. Jen says she did in New York whenever she went to a rave, which was a lot. Andy says she must have liked what it did for her, and Jen says the first few times are amazing. As they head for a swing set to wait for Jack to get out of a meeting, Andy asks Jen to describe how it feels. Clip 9.
First time you do X, it's really good. And you get this feeling of loving everybody and everything, and that everybody loves you, and that can be really powerful. X just made me happy. It just provided a pleasant vacation from my usual spot under the bell jar.
So X makes you happy?
All kinds of wonderful.
That doesn't sound so bad.
No, it's not at first. See, it lasts about 6 hours and then it's gone. And afterward, ironically, you're more depressed when he started.
The worst thing, though, with X, well, with any drug, is you lose your inhibitions.
That's why I stopped. I just didn't know who I was anymore.
So world weary. Oh, my God.
God.
Andy asks to see what it looks like. Jen says that Andy is too interested, but Andy says she's just interested in feeling happy. Jen asks if she didn't just get into Harvard today, and Andy curtly says, yep, and repeats what we already heard about how blank she feels about it. Jen offers to listen if she wants to talk about how she does feel, but Andy says all she does is talk, and tonight she wants to leave her problems in a field and pick them up tomorrow. Andy is sure she'll feel happy soon, but as Jen is holding her hand out to take the pills back, Jack appears and Andy hides them in her crossed arms. Jack can't wait to dance that soccer meeting out of his mind, and I guess if he was still invited, that means Andy was right and the Jack is gay thing did blow over with the team. So great, and what was the point of that?
Yep.
But fine. And Jen looks so shifty that he asks what he interrupted. Andy says it was just girl talk, and Jack is glad they stopped. And as he walks ahead, Jen motions for Andy to give the pills back, but Andy says she'll do it later. And then the Mitchmobile arrives at the map point, and Gretchen offers to be Dawson's buddy. Pacey wonders when Dawson and Gretchen started being pals who go places together, and Joey shrugs that this seemed to be the first time. Pacey asks if Joey's bothered that Gretchen wants to hang out with Dawson, and Joey says he's the only person near her age who works at the restaurant, so this just makes sense. Also, I doubt it. But Pacey says he asked if it bothers her. When she shrugs again that it doesn't, they couple-ishly bicker about it. Joey's saying it bothers him, but he's trying to make it bother her too. He asks what is bothering her then, and she says he is, and uses her fingers to make him smile, and he laughs for real, and it's, again, so cute.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider how long ago before this it was that they went out, it's like, that's a real good breakup. Good job, both of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we're at the map point, and you'll see this in the visual aids. The production designer, like, spent weeks coming up with this shot, like the green glow and all of the just like kudzu and the fuzz, and like it's so picturesque, and again just looks so swampy.
Mm-hmm.
Gretchen's hair is visibly frizzing almost before our eyes, like she has her hands on one of those things at the science center. Like, it's like,
oh my God, it's so, I mean, it's so relatable to among us.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's an outdoor party, and you could just hear that top layer, like.
Yeah. Austin Summer, very similar. No, thank you. I'll be staying indoors, going from AC to AC. See you in November.
Yeah. Also, serum technology has really come a long way in the last quarter century, and you really feel for our past selves.
It's true. Anyway, then it's this, clip 10.
Now, why are you here? To have a great night?
Exactly. Right on. All right, $5 a body.
We'll take four.
Follow the Old Brick Road.
Okay, you know, like, everyone is trying so hard.
Oh my God. Everything about, I mean, I don't know. I had a roommate who was like sort of in this culture, but like the European version of it, where it really was like drugs were not optional and you really were out until like 10:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I can't even feign wanting to be cool in that way.
No.
And just like goggles and overalls and all of this shit, all of it is so tiring too. Mm-hmm. Like with any other college scene where it's like, oh, we've invented this imagistic system of drug hinting. Like, are these hints though?
Mm-hmm.
Like once the Wizard of Oz is involved, I'm out.
Right.
Shut up.
Yeah. Even when I was in college, I mean, by the time this episode aired, I'd been married for like 3.5 years. Like there was never going to be a rave anywhere ahead of me, honestly. But like, even when I was in college, like I just no interest. I was like, you have fun. Come over and watch a movie when you're ready to be on my level.
Like, oh yeah, I'm not having a migraine day. Let's change all that being extremely stripey. No, I don't think so.
No. Anyway, as they're strolling back, Gretchen checks that Dawson is really okay to be out with Pacey and Joey. Dawson says it was kind of awkward, but he's in too good a mood to stay annoyed. She asks if that's why he decided to come out, and Dawson violates Gail's privacy yet again by saying his parents decided to have the baby. Too soon to tell people outside the household. Like, we know it's going to be fine, but too soon.
Mm-hmm.
She's happy for the Learys. He says he wanted to tell her right away, but then it didn't want it to be weird since, you know, with her situation. Gretchen says he can absolutely talk to her about this and he's glad because he's so excited. Gretchen says younger siblings have pluses like doing chores and being there to blame if something gets broken, which assumes a sibling that is 3 years younger than you, like Gretchen's, and not one that's like almost a full generation younger that Dawson's probably never going to live with once it starts moving independently. But
I was wondering what you thought of this. It's even our younger siblings who like we're close with now, but when we were kids, like even those age differences, which were not even 17 years, it was still like, this isn't going to be any fucking good to me until he's 13 and I'm gone.
Right.
Fuck.
Yeah. No, it was enough of an age difference that I was around to babysit her, so I'm sure that was handy for my parents, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine too.
We're cool now, but there were years of resentment anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dawson sincerely thanks Gretchen for sharing what she went through and giving him more empathy for his parents, and she's happy to have helped. And then we're with Jen and the McPhees in the rave parking lot. How do I know that's where they are? Well, clip 11.
Rave time has arrived.
Got it. That also sounds like a Sunny D commercial to me.
Rock bottom.
Jen still looks tense, and as Jack goes out ahead, we get this clip 12.
Hey, Andy, were we done back there at the park?
Totally done.
Right. So you're okay?
I am so okay. Actually, I feel really great.
Well, why don't you give me back the X-Jack bus?
Jen, don't be mad, but I sort of took one.
Andy, no. What? When?
Well, before we got back to the car, I just decided, you know, carpe diem.
Andy, no, this is so not good for you.
But you said it was amazing the first few times, and I think I've earned an amazing night, right? I'll pay you back. I mean, whatever it costs is a lot.
No, Andy, I don't care about the money. I care about you.
That's so sweet, Jen. But I told you I'm feeling fine. Look, can we not tell Jack about this? Because I don't think he'd approve.
Okay,
God. Oh,
God. Recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
As the other party walks up to the entrance, Drew is waiting there, sarcastically clapping that they're not the squares he thought they were. Clip 13.
Hi there. We haven't met.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, I'll give her that one.
Yep, sure will.
The two groups converge and Dawson and Joey give Andy congratulatory hugs. Drew needles Jen, who tells him she really doesn't need him tonight. Pacey gives Andy the last hug, saying he always said she would do it. So since Jen isn't talking to him, Drew turns to Joey and tries to start shit with her about whether the hug lasted a little too long. Pacey gives him a look like, hey, man, what the fuck? And Drew just flicks his nose and heads in. And clip 14.
Who is that guy?
Did you ever meet Abby Morgan?
Hey, they heard you.
Thank you.
Andy gasps as they walk in that this place is so beautiful. And Jen's face says, oh, great. I guess this is what I'm doing now.
Yep.
And inside, we're back with another one of those block rockin' beats as everyone stops at the edge of the dancing. Andy reaches out and gently strokes Joey's arm. Joey smiles at her indulgently, but Jen pulls her away and tells her to try harder to maintain around people she's going to see after tonight. And God, the talk of maintaining, I swear to God. Shut up. Just say be normal. Andy insists that she feels fine, but Jen says if she's going to be able to keep an eye on Andy, she has to stick close by. Andy says she's the best, and she never knew Jen's hair was so soft. And Jack and Drew show up to pull people to the dance floor. Jen immediately peels off to go get water, so great job, and asks Jack to keep an eye on Andy and Drew since he's not the kind of guy you leave your sister with. He's not the problem tonight, though, I would say.
Mm-mm.
Later, Gretchen apologizes to Joey about Dawson crashing their night, but Joey's glad they all ended up together because things with the love triangle have been getting better. And they are... go to the visual aids. They're having this conversation behind a table with a random assortment of stuff, including a mannequin head with, I think, lollipops sticking out of it, and a model of a brain, and then a little, like, metal tub, galvanized steel tub from the hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
Full of fresh fruit. Like, are people coming to the rave to get their green grape on? Seems strange to me, but as I said, I never went to a rave.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't either. I could see that being a here's something because your teeth are grinding and you need to stay hydrated, but just get water. I don't know.
Yeah. Gretchen's glad people are on their way to getting along better since Dawson is such a great guy. And Joey's like, about that, and asks what their deal is. Gretchen asks where that's coming from, and Joey says everyone knows about Dawson's crush. Gretchen says that ended when he was 12, but Joey says he has a way of hanging on to things from when he was 12 that wait to come out again later, so if Dawson thinks he has a chance with Gretchen? But Gretchen pointedly says if Dawson is nursing a crush, it's not on her. And on the dance floor, Andy's dancing with her arms in the air, so when Drew tells her she is so high, she yelps a denial, but all it takes is for him to gently stroke her cheek for her to melt euphorically. She says she's supposed to be maintaining. Nobody knows except Jen. Drew says he's a far better guide through the looking glass than Jen could ever be. And Andy is in no position to do anything but nod. And outside, Joey finds Pacey sitting alone in a floral love seat in the parking lot looking bored. She tells him he is violating the buddy system, and he dryly says he had to leave because he got too intimidated trying to follow the intricate choreography that goes with the most tuneless music imaginable. Joey also felt out of place not having dressed in an homage to anime. He asks why they're there, and she says they're trying something new. This is only confirming how much Pacey enjoyed the old, and she admits she did too, but she's glad they came, if only to witness the wasted youth of America up close. He says it's not pretty, but she is, and they kiss. And then, clip 15.
Remember how we used to play Barnacle for Your Thoughts?
Yes.
Well, I don't exactly have a barnacle on me, but I could offer you this lovely glow necklace.
Oh, which I would gladly accept.
Yeah. Here's your that whole Caesar look again.
I mean, let's not think about it, I guess. But the buzzed head is, it's better than that was.
Agree.
They go on, clip 16.
So, I did my part, and I think now you're supposed to tell me something deep and profound.
You want to hear something deep and profound, huh? I miss true love, Joe. I mean, right now, sitting under the stars, arm around you, let me tell you, I miss true love something fierce.
I miss her too, Pacey.
No.
Yeah. Where will they get their barnacles from now?
I know. Mr. Brooks's boat.
Nothing else would be hard to go from being a person with a boat to a person without a boat.
Yeah.
Inside, Dawson finds Gretchen in her obvious stewing on what Joey said, turns it awkward. Clip 17.
Blue necklace? All the cool kids seem to be wearing them. No? If you don't like the color, I'd be more than happy to exchange it. You've got others.
No, it's great. Thanks.
Is something wrong?
Okay, there's no easy way to say this, so I'm just gonna put it out there. Is it possible, even in the vaguest way, that you're here because you think there's a chance something might be happening between us?
I think there is something happening between us. It's called friendship.
And that's all you expect?
Did I do something to make you think I expected more?
No. No, sorry. This is so out of the blue, I feel ridiculous that I even mentioned it.
But don't feel ridiculous. It's no secret that at one point in my life, I would have killed for you to even acknowledge that I was in a room, let alone hang out with you. That's, I don't think that's where either one of us are at right now.
You know, we keep saying it, but it's only because it's true. He's tolerable. Like, he's saying all the right things in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like the innards of a horseshoe crab were thrown at his head at speed and affixed there. So that helps.
It really does. Yeah,
there must have been some real post-Dawson crying soul-searching going on in that writer's room that it's like, we gotta fucking bail this fucker out.
Yeah.
He's in the title. What are we gonna do? So, yeah, they're doing well.
They are. When she asks where they are at, he says he lost his two best friends in the season 3 finale. He does not put it that way. But he's moved on and is happy to have made a new friend in Gretchen. Clip 18.
They're easy to talk to. They give really good advice. But, I don't expect anything, you know, it's just the opposite, really. It's just, God, it's really nice to just be in the present with somebody.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, you know?
Okay.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, it won't last, but that's fine for now.
No, sadly. Anyway, her next question is dance or bounce, because there's a bounce house. And when we cut outside, Drew and Andy are on their way to it. Andy gives Pacey another big hug, and when Drew comments that Andy is feeling the love, Joey still doesn't seem to think anything of it, but stops Andy from hugging Joey as well. Clip 19.
I just want to show you guys how much I love you both. You guys are so good together, and Joey, you are so nice. Well, except for the time when you dumped Dawson for Pacey. That was pretty cold. But really, who can blame you? I mean, it's Pacey. I pretend not to care, but I have to admit, Pace, you are the love of my life, and I am so not over you. I hope it's okay that I said that. I mean, we're all really good friends, so it shouldn't be that big of a secret, right?
News to me, Andy.
You totally don't have to worry. I mean, Pacey is so over me, and such the faithful type. If only I had been. Maybe we'd still be together.
Andy, are you feeling okay?
Oh, yeah. I feel great.
Yeah. That's the point at which someone should have fireman's carried her out of there, because
But instead, she invites them to the bounce house. Pacey declines, and when they're gone, Joey and Pacey are both quizzical, but neither comes to the obvious conclusion. And inside, Jen searches the dance floor for Randy and finds Jack instead. He introduces her to the girls he's dancing with, but Jen doesn't care and asks him to point to where Andy went. He lost track of her and can't understand why Jen is getting so intense about it now, particularly when she grabs him and orders him to help. Clip 20.
What is with you? I thought you were like this major raver. I mean, all you seem to be doing is monitoring Andy.
I'm just making sure she's all right.
Why wouldn't she be?
Let's just find her.
Oh my God. So many people spiraling towards the drain of LVP in this situation. Where will it end?
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
In the amazingly unpopulated bounce house, Dawson falls over onto a giggling Gretchen, but she laughs through their pretty obvious pre-kiss capital M moment, telling him this is a no parking zone and making him help her up. And that's when Andy and Drew bounce in, but soon Andy's giddiness starts getting interrupted by flashes of light. Everyone can tell she's not doing great, and she says she's getting a headache. Drew's voice is distorted as he tells her she'll be fine and shirks his guide duties, seemingly in the hope of getting something going with Gretchen. That's when Jen and Jack show up. Andy's trying to tell Dawson she doesn't feel so well when she passes out mid-sentence, and Jack leans over her screaming for help. And this remote Cape Cod rave has, like, a MASH tent. Like, I know that sometimes they have, like, medical facilities here, but it is crazy how well outfitted this one is. Like,
yeah, I mean, which good.
Yeah, sure.
Very responsible on the part of the of rave management.
Yeah.
I mean, given where they're supposed to be on the Cape, you could, even if you didn't have that, you could get to a hospital pretty mm-hmm. quickly. But like, I guess you do have to think that kind of thing through if you really are in the middle of nowhere in a vacation community. Like, well, maybe we should just pay some firefighters just in case someone right. is irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just imagining, like, whoever planned this thing being like, okay, we've got the Burkittsville 3. We need to get a tent. We need to get some mm-hmm. EMTs. We need grapes. Peaches.
We need grapes. The Burkittsville 3, grapes, EMTs. Yeah. I mean, what more do you need in life?
One tab of ecstasy. Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yep. Maybe start with a half.
Jack brings Andy there. One of the EMTs asks Andy's on. Jack tells them about Nardil, and he's like, no, what is she on? And finally, Jen tells him X. Andy's temperature and blood pressure spiked, so they need to get her to a hospital 10 minutes ago. Jack gets in the ambulance with her, and clip 21.
Jack.
Not now, Jen.
Please let me come with you.
I think you've done enough for the night.
No, you don't understand. I didn't know that she was on her medication. I would have been more
What
careful.
Does it matter? He gave my sister drugs, Jen. It should be you in this ambulance.
She didn't give her drugs, but she just didn't say that she was on them for too long.
Yeah. And also, if you're so determined not to be the person you were, why did you have them on you? Like, why didn't you just leave them at Drew's non-house? Why right. didn't you flush them down the toilet if you weren't going to do that? Like, mm-hmm. what? But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. I'll just also say maybe Andy shouldn't be so greedy as to help herself to other people's drugs just because she got into Harvard mm-hmm. today, you know?
Yeah.
As the ambulance pulls off, Dawson nicely offers Jen a ride to the hospital, but she thinks she should just go home and Pacey and Joey, the cowards, drift off without saying anything to her, which leaves Jen alone with Drew, who brings her home. And as she lets herself into the porch, she's cursing herself for not having seen the warning signs in the park and making ecstasy sound so awesome, which, you know, to be fair, the name does that by itself. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of the PR yeah, I wouldn't, to begin with.
I wouldn't say it was a great sales job, but she did everything else wrong in the situation. So,
yeah. Drew says Andy's responsible for her own choices, so he doesn't know why Jen is so determined to play the martyr. Clip 22.
Does nothing faze you? Andy's my friend, and she's in the hospital right now because of something that she got from me, and you don't think that I should feel bad?
You want something to feel bad about? How about the way your quote-unquote friends iced you?
You know, I do judge them for that, honestly. Not Jack, but everybody else.
Yeah, he does have a point, unfortunately.
They go on, clip 23.
I hate the way you twist everything.
Well, hate it all you want. The truth still is, no matter what Andy tells them, Monday at school, they're going to treat you like this is your fault. You came here, the banished bed, see you, Jen. That's all you'll ever be to them. You know what? They want you to play that role so that they can feel better about the pathetic, plastic, Mayberry existence they're living.
And I thought that I was damaged.
You are. So am I. And that's why we need each other. We're coming from the same place here, Jen.
No, Drew. We came from the same place, but now we're miles apart, and I intend to keep it that way. I'm going to call my friend and see how she's doing.
I don't think she's picking up right now, but I take your point.
Mm-hmm.
Also, is it Mayberry or is it plastic? Because those are two very different cliches, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back at good old Chung Chung Memorial Hospital, Jack reports to everyone else that Andy is stable. She went into a hypertensive crisis because of the drug interaction and she could have died. When he gets choked up, Joey hugs him and he tells everyone Andy's staying overnight so they can all go home. When he is gone, Gretchen asks if Pacey's okay. And clip 24.
No, I should have known that something was wrong. I mean, I knew, I just didn't know how bad it was.
Even if you had realized, there's nothing you could have done.
Yeah. Okay, I think I want to stay here tonight. If that's okay.
Completely. You want company?
No, I'll just give you a call when I get home, okay?
Anyway, she gives him her jacket to rest on and trudges out with Gretchen and Dawson because you know what she doesn't need in this weather? A jacket! Mm-hmm. Could not be hotter or swampier, as we keep saying.
Yep.
On her porch, Gretchen tells Dawson this was not the evening she had in mind when she invited him. He doesn't think it's what anyone planned on, but he's glad he went, and so is she. And they say goodnight platonically, but then she stops him to say his friendship means a lot to her, too. He's glad, and they say goodnight again. And then by the car, Joey looks at the stars and says she's not even tired. He asks if she's hungry, but then we don't see them eating anything after this, so I assume something got cut. You know, him letting her in at the restaurant, picking her some cold clam chowder or something. I have no idea.
Little clam mist.
Exactly. In her hospital room, Andy tells Joseph she is sorry. Clip 25.
I'm not mad, Andy.
I am. The three of us, we need each other. You can't do stupid things like this, Annie. You just can't. I mean, think about what our family's been through already.
Yeah, good point. Where is your mom these days? I haven't heard anyone mention her in a real long time.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeesh.
Andy tearfully says she knows this was one of the stupidest things she's ever done, but she just wanted to feel something. Joseph says they'll get through this as a family if they can all communicate. Pacey enters with coffee, and Andy's touched to see he stayed. She tried to take back what she said, presumably about him being the love of her life, but he tells her not to worry about it. He's just glad she's okay. And then at sunrise, Joey and Dawson walk to the end of a dock in town, commenting on how scary and real everything's been lately. It's almost like the writers are ripping off a bunch of different movies all in a row. But what they say is it makes you realize any of them could die anytime for the stupidest reasons. Well, any of them but one. Dawson remembers when parties were bowling and birthday cakes, not high-risk adventures that could kill you. Joey reminds him that they'll all be out of there in less than a year, and it's sad to think no one's going to be rowing their boats anymore. Dawson thinks she should give hers to Alexander because he's giving his to his new brother or sister. Still too soon to tell people, but of course, Joey's shocked and happy and gives him a hug. Thinking about their younger relatives taking over for them makes them both feel old. Joey thinks that wherever they go next, it's hard to imagine her life without him. And somehow, not sounding too pointed about it, he says she did okay for 3 months. Mm-hmm. She thinks he knows what he means, and he does, but neither says more than that as they sit in the sunrise that is pretty obviously actually a sunset. And that's the episode. Sarah, whom would you call your episode MVP?
I don't know. There aren't a lot of candidates, I will say that. So I am torn between Angry McPhee, who maybe should have impressed a little more firmly on the not the only person medicated for mental illness in his family, person who was going out, that things that are contraindicated could kill her, but on the other hand, she's a teenager. I don't know. I don't really blame Angry, and I think he handled all the situations he was in well tonight, but I think I gotta go Dawson, dude.
Wow. I never thought I'd see the day.
He is normal. He was like super sincerely happy, like, yes, because he was getting his way, but like, that's kind of all of us, let's face it, especially at that age. And he was like normal with the weird, like possible sexual tension with Gretchen. And as you just noted, that talking about last summer, like he's within his rights to be a little snarky, but that's as far as it went. And he's really improved. So
yeah,
if Grams or really anyone else had been in this episode, he probably would not get it, but she wasn't. So congratulations.
I'm going to give it to the organizers of this rave in
excellent choice,
Podunk, Massachusetts, because they really thought of everything.
Yeah.
Including production design at the map point. They really made it a full immersive experience.
There were a couple of background actors who looked like they could be at a legit something in like Amsterdam. there were goggles and like white lipstick. I felt more satisfied than you would expect.
Sure. Least valuable player.
This all does seem like it's Drew's fault somehow. And he needs to get a fucking life. But Jen, who is my actual LVP, I don't think she actually deserved to get iced out to this extent. Like, you have to know that she wouldn't push that on Andy, but
yeah,
I don't know why you kept the drugs that Drew gave you. I don't know why you still talk to Drew, mostly, but I don't know why you kept the drugs. I don't know why you had them on you. I don't know why you didn't just take them back from Andy when Jack rolled up. That's supposed to be your best friend also. And then yeah. once it's clear that she's downed one, you don't know what prescription she's on. And when she tells you not to tell Jack, rat her out.
Yep.
Like everything handled stupidly, realistically stupidly, but mm-hmm. you know, you kind of did this to yourself. And so, Jen.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree just because they're using this as an object lesson for the audience of like, here's what mm-hmm. you don't do, not just because yeah. someone could die, but because it will have social effects on you as well and push you towards the person that you hate the most because you have nowhere else to turn. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, I guess, for the next episode. I mean, sort of, but yeah, I still feel bad for her. I mean, Jack being like, you gave my sister drugs is like the most unjust thing that happens in the episode because she didn't. Yeah, like
he cannot, even in extremis, he cannot think that's what happened.
Right. Right.
Like, calm down, eat a grape, think this through.
Yeah.
Next time on Again With This, everyone takes sides in the aftermath of Andy's overdose. Everyone also takes Drew's word about what happened, even though most of them have met him like one time and were not impressed with the experience. And Angry McPhee wants to take Andy out of school. And Dawson takes a minute to get to know Mr. Brooks. You should take a couple of Tums before you look at our visual aids. That's the key screenshots and GIFs from every episode of the podcast. Those and all the episodes themselves are on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm Pink Altoid of Certain Doom, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Twisted Glow Headband, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And David T. Coldtime has arrived. Talk to you next time.
Great.
Rock bottom.
Any excuse.
Grape.